When Paul wrote the book that we call Hebrews, he talked about a lot of things. He talked about a better life, a better covenant, a better sacrifice. He talked about a better inheritance. He told them about how that we were baptized into Christ by one Spirit. By one Spirit we were baptized into the body of Christ. He told them a lot of good things, but he also felt that he must deal with discouragement. And he told them, look to Jesus. Consider Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, when Brother Peter, when he wrote to the strangers throughout Asia, he felt it necessary also to address the sufferings of which they were involved in. In fact, he said, don't think it strange when these fiery trials comes upon you. And in 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse 1, he says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. There was a lot of suffering saints in the days of the apostles. There was a lot of persecution. There was a lot of adversity. There was a lot of struggling and striving. And these apostles felt that they must address this. Life was not so easy for those early saints. But today, life seems to be pretty easy for the Christians in America today. We suffer no persecutions. We suffer no hardships. We enjoy the fullness of God. In fact, if anyone begins to talk about suffering saints, he's branded as negative. He is branded as a negative preacher. His teachings is all negative, they will say. We don't believe in that old negative preaching. But what I'd like to say today is, people are still suffering. In their homes, they're suffering. On their jobs, they're suffering. Even in their churches, they are suffering. I'd like to read a quote that I read one time about a man, a great man. And the quote goes like this: there lies the most perfect ruler of men that the world has ever known. Now he belongs to the ages. Of whom was this said? Was it Caesar, Napoleon, or even Alexander the Great? The answer is no. Was it General Patton or General MacArthur or some earlier military strategist? No. How about Martin Luther or Wesley or Charles Spurgeon? Again, the answer would be no. Well, you say, it was no doubtedly said about some great leader, a man with a powerful and persuasive personality. Certainly, you would say, he was admired for his success. Well, that depends, I suppose, on what you call success. When he was 7 years old, his family was forced to move out of their home because of a legal technicality. At age 9, when he was still a shy little boy, his mother died. At age 22, he lost his job as a store clerk. He wanted to go to college, but his school grades were not high enough to be admitted. At 23, he went in debt and borrowed money to become a partner in a small store, which 3 years later, his business partner died, leaving him with a huge amount of debt. At age 28, After a long romantic relationship with a young girl, he proposed to her. She said no. At 37, on his third try, he was finally elected to Congress. 2 years later, he ran but failed to be reelected. And after that, he had a nervous breakdown. When he was 41 years old, this man suffered another tragedy. His 4-year-old son died. At 45 years old, he ran for the state senate and lost. 2 years later, he was defeated in his bid for vice president. At 49, he ran for the state senate and lost. And added to this was endless criticism, misunderstandings, ugly and false rumors, and deep periods of depression. And you realize now that it's no wonder he was snubbed by his peers and despised by multitudes. At 45 years old, however, he was elected president of the United States. But his second term in office was cut short by his assassination. As he lay dying in a little rooming house, one of his friends quoted these words, "There lies the most perfect ruler of men the world has ever known. Now he belongs to the ages." It is sad to say that this generation loves the dazzling lights, the fickle applaud of the public, the splash of success. We rarely think about the bitter hardships, unfair and undeserved abuses, loneliness and loss, humiliating failures, debilitating disappointments, agony beyond comprehension, suffered in the valley of the climb from the bottom to the top. How short-sighted we are. No one deserves the right to lead without first persevering through pain and heartache and failure. We forget that the marks of greatness are not delivered in a paper sack, but they are brought to us through times of sufferings. Those who are really worth following have paid their dues. They have come through the furnace, melted, beaten, reshaped, and tempered. To use the words of the teacher from Tarsus, they bear in their bodies the marks of Jesus. I hope this lesson brought some encouragement to your soul. Always remember what Paul said, "When all men forsook me, Jesus stood with me and strengthened me." Jesus has told us, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Christ is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When you get discouraged, get into the Word. Read about what Jesus did to those who were broken, bruised, and blind and crippled. Jesus was there to heal them.